Say bad words. While I'm holding the Bible.
Am I the only one sitting here? Still holding on, holding back my tears. For the ones who paid with the lives they gave. God bless the USA. Watching the friends of the glory come undone. I'm not the only one. I can't be the only
poignant.
Ain't got nothing but heat, and we hope
That's a damn shame. People like you. Amen, brother. Welcome back to The Forgotten Conservative. It is August 21, officially. Probably by now, everybody that does listen to this podcast has heard that song. I did send it to my sweetheart earlier this evening, and she had not heard it. So, given that, I thought I would go ahead and include it in the introduction or opening, I probably should say. If anybody knows me, they know I don't have Facebook, social media, etc. I never did have any success at contacting Aaron Lewis about officially getting permission to use his song. I've mentioned it in previous podcasts. I still feel bad about it. It's not malicious intent, but I think it fits not only the title, but what I stand for. Am I the only one? This dude here, Oliver Anthony, if anybody has Facebook that can, you know, send him a message and say, hey, there's this dude that's got a podcast that, even though it's intermittent, would like permission to use your song as his theme song, feel free. You have my blessing. So it's been about a month and a half, roughly, since my last podcast. Life, job, etc. No excuses, but nothing has really motivated me to get behind the microphone. I had thought about it. The first Republican debate is Wednesday. So for what's today? Monday, officially Monday. So a couple of days from now. So Trump come out and said he wasn't going to participate in the first debate. He was going to do something on Tucker, which I don't think surprised anybody. But this debate upcoming is part of why I felt compelled to get behind the microphone. Part of it is that song, Rich Men North of Richmond, and various other, let's say, like tributary reasons, like little tributaries running into the big river. Because part of what I consider a task of mine or a goal of mine or what my purpose is to talk about those tributaries, those little subtle things that lead to the big things. I don't know if it was the last podcast or the one prior to that. I know two podcasts ago, I talked about social issues and why they're important. And I don't know I don't recall how much I went into why they're important, because I don't come into these with a script. But the glaring social issue of our existence was slavery. And for people to say, oh, you worry too much about social issues, they're not important, so on and so forth, have no idea the true history of slavery in this country, slavery under the British Empire, the islands, Caribbean, places like that, and all across the world. For many people, they have no idea that there are more slaves being held, whether it's in captivity or used for slave labor. Now, we're not talking about Nike or some sweatshops in China. We're not talking about those types. We're talking about slaves that are comparable to the slaves that were in America, in the South, or the slaves that were in or under the vast British Empire. There are more today, way, way more, millions more today than there were back in the early to mid 1850s when we fought the Civil War. A lot of people don't realize that. But I don't know how you could not classify slavery as a social issue. So if we can agree on that and start there as a premise, if you can't agree to that, I'd like to hear the argument against slavery not being a social, quote unquote, social issue. And we could debate it, we can disagree. However, in my mind, my way of thinking, which sometimes can be off, allegedly, you cannot classify any bigger social issue than slavery. That's why these little tributary social issues matter today, because it starts small and it grows and it manifests. The left, the Marxists, the progressives never stop fighting. Early on in my podcast days, I talked about healthcare. Again, a lot of people don't realize the left, the progressives, pushed intermittently, not every election cycle, not all the time, every so often, they pushed for universal health care, government-run health care. It took them over 100 years until 2010 and Obamacare. And damn near, outside of, let's see, maybe 2010 or Obama's election year, 2012, check that. 2010 was the year it passed, I think May. 2012, that election, Obama won re-election, but took a whooping with the House. I don't recall the Senate, nevertheless. So Obama wins re-election in 2012. I don't recall if it started in 2014 or if it was 2016. Trump v. Hillary, that healthcare got back on the agenda, that got back into political rhetoric, fixing healthcare, amending healthcare, so on and so forth. Well, we were all told and promised that Obama's plan was the be-all end-all, but it never is. It never is. That's why these tributaries, these small, basic social issues, or even whether it's environmental issues or you name it, these small issues left unchecked grow, metastasize. And then it slaps you in the face. We were told with the gays, the homosexuals, back when it was just LGBT, and, stay out of our bedroom. We're not effing with you. We don't want to push this on straight people. We're not trying to corrupt your youngins. Just stay out of our bedroom. And for the most part, everybody was okay with that. Every state that brought it to the ballot voted against gay marriage. Even California voted against gay marriage. The only state, based off memory, that voted for gay marriage, I think, was Massachusetts. Pretty sure. Could have been Rhode Island, but it was one of the northeastern states. Out of all the states that voted against gay marriage. We don't care. Sleep with who you want to. Whatever. Promiscuous. Whatever you want to do, you do. I heard some youngin, I was getting a Diet Coke, and he says, on the phone, I guess, you do you, boo. I don't know what that really means other than, okay, that's you, whatever. But that was kind of the mood of the country. We don't believe in gay marriage, but we don't care what you do. And then Terry Kennedy of the Supreme Court says in, was it Obergefell? That it's basically a right for two dudes or two chicks to get married. And it's not a right. It's not a right for a man and a woman to get married. Rights are God-given. That's how we are built and founded. It's God-given. It's a right. You have to have a marriage license. There are certain, depending on the state, rules, restrictions, etc. But if you meet those requirements, then yes, you can get married. More power to you. But it doesn't mean it's automatic. Massachusetts, again, by memory, agrees with it. Every other state votes against it. And five alleged wise justices dressed in black robes, unelected officials, just like in the early 70s with Roe v. Wade, five unelected officials said, all of a sudden, now it's a right. And it's the law of the land. But they didn't stop there. Because the left never stops. They push, they push, they push. Then they go, they start on the transgenders. Then they put boys and, young men, teenagers, in girls' restrooms. And I've mentioned this before. Holy moly, if this bullshit had been around when I was in high school, now, you wouldn't have caught me in a dress. In all honesty, I was raised right. My mama raised me to respect women, so on and so forth. Respect authority to the best of my ability, which I still struggle with today. And I'll always struggle with. It's not the respect factor. It's the conventional wisdom. It's that we are, this is what how you're supposed to be, and you just follow along. So nevertheless, I don't want to stray or follow that squirrel that just ran across my other computer. But it wasn't enough for the left. It never is, just like with healthcare. Two dudes or two chicks getting married was not enough. Where we're at now, I don't know, 10 years roughly or so after Oberg fell, however you pronounce it, and forgive my voice, but you know, we got basically pornography being allowed in schools subtly. We've got books in school libraries. We have books being taught or went over in class with kids younger than fifth effing grade. That little Johnny comes home and says, "Mommy, this is the book that they gave us today. I don't understand it. Can you explain it? What does this mean?" And the mama goes to the next school board meeting and she can't read the book at the school board meeting because it's a public meeting and profanity or obscenity is not allowed. There's women, I don't recall seeing any dads, but there's been mamas that have tried to read material being taught in school, in class, or from a library that have been ejected from school board meetings for obscenity. How the F do you, amongst adults, eject, remove, potentially forcefully, or arrest a mama for obscenity when she's reading material that is being exposed to her elementary grade son or daughter? That doesn't compute in my brain. Tributaries. Those small little inlets. I can remember going fishing a few times. Mainly we fished off of bridges or structures, etc. But there was a few times in a boat. But those little creek beds, Lake George, there was big, beautiful down there. You know, but if you get back in these little nooks and crannies, you can find some good fish. So obviously it's metaphorical, but these little nooks and crannies, these tributaries, lead to the big fish, so to speak. If you've never been on Lake George, a huge, huge lake, that potentially has as rough a seas as a daggum ocean. Trust me, I know. I thought I was going to sink in a pontoon boat one night, but I digress. So when I think about, obviously, Aaron Lewis, which I basically, I'm, you know, taking the man's art without permission. I wish there was something I could do. I haven't put forth a whole lot of effort. I did put forth a little effort, but I think if he heard me, if we sat down and had a conversation, he would say, "Yeah, dude, feel free." You know, Oliver Anthony, I first heard of this dude 4 or 5 days ago. Heard a snippet of the song. Took me a day or two to listen to it. The words, the lyrics. Aaron Lewis, Oliver Anthony. Again, I haven't heard the Jason Aldean song. Let's see. There's been others. Charlie Daniels, I mentioned. Simple Man. Back here, let's go back again to the slavery days. The slaves, you know, crafted, invented songs and music. Religion creates songs, lyrics, music. It's powerful, potentially powerful stuff. The proverbial, we're going to hell in a handbasket? Well, dadgummit, brother, we're on the express elevator. That effing serpent, he has slithered his ass all the way up and down that tree and has handed out the forbidden fruit to not only this country, but the entire globe. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say this. I think I've mentioned this in the past. I don't know if I have. But I'm not here to offend anybody purposely. That's not what I'm here for. Actually, I'm not sure why I'm here. But certainly not to purposely offend. I will never, ever own an Apple product. Ever. Probably cutting off my nose to spite my face. But I don't like the symbol of Apple products with a bite taken out of the apple. I've never heard an explanation of why that's their symbol or icon or whatever the F it is. But the first bite out of the effing apple in the Garden of Eden, directly has contributed to where this world has descended into. Eve took the bite. Then she talked Adam into it. And then when God appears, he's like, why are you hiding your body? Eve, you know, what's going on here? And she blames it on the serpent. And then he looks at Adam and he's like, what the hell are you doing? I gave you this vast kingdom. Freedom. I gave you animals, beasts to name, to eat, to use as you so desire. And you had one rule. And what did Adam do? He blamed it on Eve. He didn't take, you know, he didn't say, hey, look, dude, it's my fault. You know, I saw her over there by the tree. She wasn't wearing a stitch of clothing. And when she took a bite of that apple, she had this certain look in her eye. And she said, hey, big boy, you come over here, you take a bite of this apple, and then, you know, so on and so forth, if you get my drift. Now, I'm not trying to be facetious or make a joke. The point is, God put Adam in charge. He bestowed the earthly powers, so to speak, upon Adam. And Adam succumbed to Eve. Eve succumbed to the serpent. She blamed the serpent. He blamed her. Regardless, they never owned up and they were cast out of the Garden of Eden and to be clothed however it goes. Man probably would have sinned at some point had it not been Adam and Eve. I cannot reconcile in my brain why Apple would use that symbol, whatever it is, icon, whatever. I just can't. I don't know if Apple is the best electronics on the face of the earth. I have a Samsung Galaxy. Does pretty good by for my needs. It's old as hell, but you know, we're boycotting Bud Light. We're boycotting Target. You know, we take these stands here and there, but something like a cell phone that we've become so dependent upon. Maybe I'm looking at it all wacky. Maybe it's just me. I look at things differently. I look at things weird. I'm a strange bird. My brain works differently. I got it. Feel free to call me or text me and say, hey, dude, you're effed up in the head. Talking about Apple, you know, whatever. It's my opinion. But I still think it goes to the core of our society that we are susceptible to overlook certain things because of an agenda or a want or a need to go along or a need to be accepted. What does it? And I think I may have run across this briefly in one of the last couple of podcasts, in the Declaration of Independence. Okay, our founders made it perfectly clear. This was a revolution. This was a separation of the infant from the parent. King George? Used that type of language, the parental country, the infant country, or infant colonies. Language like that was used at the time. Everybody knows taxation without representation, tea tax, stamp tax, blah, blah, blah. Everybody knows those common things. They don't know, like the Virginia House of Burgesses tried to outlaw the international slave trade, passed the law in Virginia. It was called the House of Burgesses. Now it might be the House of Representatives or the state Senate in Virginia. But it had to be sent across the ocean, had to be sent to the king. And the king said, F you. Virginia makes too much money for the empire from slavery. So if we were to allow you to outlaw it, you would have less money to send to us. That was one of the grievances that Thomas Jefferson put in the original draft. Now, when he and Ben Franklin and John Adams, I think there may have been one more, maybe John Dickinson, but don't quote me. When they got together as a committee, they said, hey, we can't put that in there because we won't get South Carolina or Georgia. You know, let's just leave that part out. Let's write this so that everybody can sign it unanimous. It has to be unanimous. But what was left in? That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their creator. That, you know, certain unalienable rights that come from God, not from man, not from government. Our rights come strictly from being born as a human, as bipedal, opposing thumbs, thinking brain, cognitive ability, reason, things that the beasts, as the Bible puts it, don't have. Aristotle said, I think it was the, may have been the Ethics. Aristotle said the reason humans have the ability to talk and communicate is because of the common noun. You call a thing a thing. And in essence, and I don't want to go too deep into it, but if you have a bottle of water and you drink all the bottle of water, it's a bottle. Okay, it's no longer a bottle of water, but it is still a bottle. And it's a good bottle. It is a representation. It's not the bottle, because if it was the bottle, then there would be no other bottles. But guess what? Aristotle says, in essence, if you take the lid off of that water bottle, at that point, it's still a water bottle, not the water bottle. So now the lid's off. If you turn it upside down and you cut off the bottom of that water bottle, it's no longer a water bottle. The good of the water bottle has diminished, has vanished. He said the good and the being are synonymous. It was a good water bottle until you cut the bottom off. Now the good is gone. So what do you call it? You can turn it upside down, and now it could be a funnel. And it can be a great funnel. It's not the funnel, but it is a funnel. That's how, in Aristotle's writings, words, proper nouns, not proper, common nouns, is how and why we learned to speak and to communicate. And it goes from there. It evolves from there. But that was the derivative of human communication. I'm 39 minutes into this podcast. I have no idea whether I've said, well, I know I've not covered everything I want to cover. But when I talk about words, tributaries, social issues, creeping, progressing, and real quick, right back to the Declaration of Independence. We are not to revolt or fight, argue, insurrection over light and transient causes. However, history has shown us that people are willing to suffer the insufferable. And by and large, that's what we're doing now. We are suffering the insufferable. This music, Aaron Lewis, Oliver Anthony, I'm assuming Jason Aldean, this music speaks to us because of the words. So when I say words are important, language is important, and I felt that early on in my life, I'm going to share something in a second here. But I didn't need a textbook. I didn't need a teacher. It's not something my parents instilled in me. They instilled manners, respect, truthfulness, honesty, you know, things of that nature. this language, this word stuff is something that wherever I got it or inherited it from, I don't know, but has been extremely important to me my entire life. Most of our young life, me and my little brothers played all three sports. We had cousins that lived with us off and on. We had friends of my parents. They had two boys that here and there would come and stay with us here and there. We, once or twice a year, we had kids that were visiting, you know, from a visiting sports team that would stay with us. For a long time, I used to say I grew up poor. Sometimes I still slip. We never wanted for anything. Ever. Never wanted for anything. We didn't have money, but I hate that I misclassified for so long as growing up poor. We just didn't have money. But dadgummit, we wasn't poor. Nevertheless, again, another example of words. So we were mean. We were mean as hell. You know, that's just the way it was. So there used to be this little toy. It was a red and white ball, had all these little shapes, and you would take these yellow plastic pieces and you would put it into the ball. It was like a motor skills type of deal. Maybe, I don't know, 4 and under, 5 and under, whatever the ages were. But we always had it because my mother, you know, would watch neighborhood kids, so on and so forth. So my brother, middle brother, was being particularly pesky and a butthole. I was going to say an asshole, but I don't know if, you know, like a 5 or 6 year old can be an asshole. Just, you know, that's a kid's job is to, you know, especially brothers. And so I put all these little shapes in this red and blue ball. And you could separate it a little bit and, you know, to get the shapes out of it. But I think I may allegedly put like a rock or something in there, something to give it a little weight. So I'm, I don't know, 15 feet away, roughly 10 foot away, whatever I was. So I underhanded, you know, kind of like a bowling motion or pitching a softball. I lobbed this thing and he is between a bush and a fence. And lo and behold, it cracks him upside the head. And like, he gets a little cut, little, you know, just a baby cut. But there's blood. He's wailing, you know, melodramatic, putting on a show, runs into the house. My mama says, when your daddy gets home, he's going to beat your ass. I'm going to tell him to whoop your ass for doing this to your brother. You know, I'm thinking, I get my, we all, if we didn't get a nightly ass whooping, something was wrong. Not quite every night, but, you know, it was more common than not. Little side note, little squirrel, shiny object. We would do things to make my dad think it was the others that were doing it. And we took delightful glee in watching the other get their ass whooped when you did the deed that you, the other sibling was being punished for. So back to the story. So my dad comes home, you know, after supper, maybe it was before supper, and he says, why'd you throw this at your brother? you know, you cut him. It could have required stitches. You know, what's your effing problem? Now, my dad never said stuff like effing. He didn't use the real word. He's like, what's going on? You know, what are you thinking? And of course, they didn't know I had weighted it down. It's like, why are you just being mean to be mean? And I said, Dad, I didn't throw it at Davey. Whoops. You know, I didn't throw it at him. He says, what do you mean? He's sitting here telling me you threw it at him. Your mama says you threw it at him. And now all of a sudden, you're going to tell me you didn't throw it at him? I said, I didn't. I tossed it. He said, what do you mean? I said, I tossed it underhanded. I was throwing it in his direction, but I didn't really mean to hit him. I did hit him by accident, but I had no intent for it to hit him. My intent was to spook him. And maybe he would back up, hit his head on the fence, or, you know, cause some other type of mischief other than a direct hit on the forehead. And my dad says, so you threw it? No, Pop, I didn't throw it. This debate went on for quite a while. We got dictionaries. I think we had a thesaurus. Back then, we used to get Encyclopedia Britannica every couple, 3 years, whatever it was. We got everything we could in that house and looked up definitions. And my dad says, you will admit that you threw this. And when you do, I'm going to blister your ass. And I was adamant. I said, Dad, I will admit that I tossed it. And you can still whoop me, but you can't make me say that I threw it. Because to me, I didn't throw it. So this is going on. You know, we're not watching Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune. You know, we're at a standstill. We're in an impasse. I'm probably 7, maybe 8, maybe in that area. And it's like we're having a debate. And I'm okay because as far as I'm concerned, I'm delaying the ass whooping that I know is coming. And he's frustrated because I won't admit what he's telling me is the same thing, toss and throw. In the dictionary, under throw, it says as a synonym, throw. But, I'm sorry, under throw, a synonym is toss. But when you go in the dictionary to toss, throw is not a synonym. So that was my evidence. It wasn't the same. So being the baseball players, coaches, etc., I said, Dad, think about when you're hitting infield. You tell, when you say turn two, you tell the shortstop to throw the ball to second base. The second baseman catches it, throws it to first for potential double play. But when the ball gets hit up the middle and the second baseman fields it 1 or 2 feet off of second base, what do you tell the second baseman to do? You tell him to toss it to the shortstop, who his momentum is going towards first, tags the bag, throws it to first. You tell the shortstop to throw the ball to second. You tell the second baseman to toss it to second. They are distinct meanings. He said, son, something paraphrasing, son, you're wrong. You're something, I forget the precise words. I was like 7, 8, 9 years old. He said, and you're going to get the worst ass whooping you've ever gotten in your life. I don't remember the ass whooping. Maybe it was the worst I ever received. But at that age, that's how important words were to me. So now, I mentioned at 38 or 39 minutes, I'm at 50 minutes, 47 seconds. I'm still talking about words, the importance of words and language. The words I'm about to read from the source that it comes from are not read enough, are not studied enough, are not worshiped enough. The words that I'm about to read come from the book of John in the Holy Bible, and I've got the NIV version. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. Him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. In the beginning was the Word. You can't argue with that. I don't know theology. I've never studied. I believe, I pray, etc. I believe in my heart. You know, you've got Genesis. People say, you know, the Holy Trinity. God, the Father, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. To me, John 1 defines the Holy Ghost. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning. So you have Genesis in the beginning. But then you fast forward to John. In the beginning was the Word, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And more to what I've been, dare I say, preaching. For lack of a better term, words, language. Words are important. In the beginning was the Word. Aristotle. Common nouns is what allows us or permits us or motivates us to speak and to communicate. Words. And the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. These leftists, these progressives, these Marxists, you know, they're not idiots. I don't know that they use the good book to further their mischief. Kind of like that word, mischief. Word of the day, mischief. But they do know that changing words, meaning, changing language, changes thoughts, changes behavior, changes how people perceive, and allows them over the course of time to accept things that 5-10 years ago they would not have accepted. But because you put a different word or phraseology on it, it becomes accepted. And you don't even know it. You wake up one day and it's like, holy cow. You know, how did that happen? Where did the time go? You know, words have meaning. Language has meaning. The left has been successful. Forget about elections, things of that nature. It's deeper than that. If you think that the left it has succeeded because of 2020, if you're thinking that they stole that election from Donald Trump, I'm not going to dispute your logic or what you're thinking. I'm just going to tell you, brother, and this is a general statement. I don't mean my brother. I'm telling my brothers that listen and sisters, if you think that the 2020 election was rigged and if Donald Trump would have won, everything would have been all better, and if he wins in 24, everything's going to be all better, you're about 20 years behind. You're definitely, let's see, what is that? I don't know. 2008 and 20, what's that? 16 years behind? Because it nosedived after 2008. But it started before then. So if you're all caught up in this Trump bullshit, you are so far behind the times. You are so lost. You're so caught up in the narrative that you better wake up. It's my job to do that. So I'm not criticizing. I'm not putting anybody down. But this shit didn't start in 2020, not even 2016. So we're at the end of the line. Hopefully this is coherent, off the cuff as always, but thanks for listening and playing along and joining us on The Forgotten Conservative.